to Pastor Jim in his absence and to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's indeed a blessing to be here, albeit I wish your pastor was standing here and I was just here listening to him preach. And, you know, we are praying for him that he gets well and God would deliver him once again, as he's done so many times. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He'll bring him back here. And I understand he did teach Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, so it hadn't been a real straight 2 weeks without him saying anything.
Like that's possible.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was afraid of. Next week, whoo, y'all were going to be in for it. But we do pray for him that God will deliver him once again. And it's good to always come this way. And I'm glad Jim would have me come stand in his place this morning. I don't take that lightly. Whenever a man allows me to stand in his pulpit or behind his desk to preach the word to his people, for he is responsible for your feeding. And you just don't let anybody feed you anything, right? Your own kids or whatever. So I don't take it lightly that he's entrusted this hour to me. Amen. Well, I won't keep you long. I never keep you as long as Jim keeps you. Yes, I promise you that. And I don't know if everybody's met the Willises or here from Indiana, right? And there, they came in specifically for worship this morning. And I'm sure they thought to hear Jim this morning, and here I am. And as I told them, as been pointed out many times, I am much better looking. Yes. I'll get called about that. I know I will. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's go to the Word of God. I've got several passages for you this morning. Let's go to Psalms 45 and 42. I'm sorry. Psalms 42, verse 5. That's what I'm trying to say. Verses 5 and 6. And it reads there, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and from the hills of Mizar." And then Luke 15, verses 3 to 7. Some very familiar passage there. And it reads, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth upon his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Amen. And then a verse we know so well from the 23rd Psalm 3a, it says, which is our title for this morning, it says, "He restoreth my soul." And that's our title for this lesson. Now, by way of preference, let me say that the story of the lost sheep is part of the parable that Jesus gives in response to the Pharisees and the Sadducees saying that he eats with sinners. And you notice the text starts with, "And he spake to them a parable." It's one parable with three parts. And if you go to seminary or somewhere, they have this thing about, you know, if you preach the parable, you have to do the whole parable, you know, so you have to say what the whole thing is about and go from there. But good thing, maybe not, depending on what you're doing, I've never been to seminary. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this first part of this parable. And then again, the parable is about Jesus is he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who's saying, and you know, the previous chapter, he's gone out, he's eating with sinners, and they've come back, and, you know, they're saying, this man eats with sinners. I mean, what kind of man can he be that he would associate with publicans and harlots and all those kind of people? And the point of the parable is to show that God, he rejoices over one sinner that repents over those who think they need no repentance. I have to point that out, think, you know, because we all do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's all that needs repentance. But if you know that culture, they thought at the time that if you were a publican or a sinner or anything else, that something's wrong with you, and why would you want to associate yourself with those people? And I'm glad he did. That's one of the most blessed verses in the Bible, that he dined with sinners. Because
right.
I'm included in that bunch.
Amen.
I'm included in that bunch. So that's the point. Do you remember the three parts? You have the story of the coin, the sheep, and the prodigal son. And I'm not the only one who's picked that thing apart. You know, we've all done our share of picking on the prodigal son. I think I know at least five sermons right now I can stand and do from just that passage. And we'll touch on that too as well. So he starts the parable with saying, well, what manner of man, which man of you? This is to say that this is something that they would have experienced. That's what parables were in that day. They were things that they could associate with. It wasn't just a story for us today. It is just a story because, I mean, how many of us keep sheep, right? You know, and so we're sort of removed from that. But in that day, you pretty much had sheep. Because of the sacrifices they had to go on, and then plus, you know, I don't know about you, but my brother who drove up with me, he's been trying to get me to go to Outback for their lamb chops forever. Okay, he loves the lamb, so it's good meat, right? So it's something they would definitely identify with when Jesus says, "What man of you?" A similar way, he starts off Matthew 9 and 7 and 9, when he says, what man is there of you whom has a son, if asked bread, would give him a stone? Well, that's familiar. Even today, we sort of see it. What father, what mother, if their son asks for bread, would give him a stone and let him try to bite into a stone, would try to trick the son or daughter. So the point was that these were things that they could identify with. The point was that you've experienced what I'm about to tell you. So it's nothing you can all shake your heads and say, Jesus, I know exactly what you're talking about. But we're 2,000 years down the road, and like I say, so we have to go back and get the background of this thing. So if we're going to understand what's going on here, we must look at this thing from 2,000 years ago. David says, he restoreth my soul. From what? We're going to look at that for a few minutes and then go on. Well, as I said, there is a little book, and I recommend it highly to you. It's called A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. I may have mentioned that before. It's by Philip Keller. In it, Mr. Kelly explains the text from the understanding of a shepherd, which he was. And thusly, it gives us also insight also into what David, a shepherd, had in mind when he wrote the psalm. Okay, he said in his book that in order to understand, he restored my soul in the 23rd Psalm, and to understand the parable of the lost sheep, you have to understand what was going on when you were a shepherd in that time. He said, you have to understand what it means to be a cast down sheep. Now, what's a cast sheep? Now, I'm going to give you what the book says. A cast or cast down sheep is one that is laid down on its back and can't get up because its center of gravity is off. Sometimes because it's pregnant, or simply because it's full of fleece or just fat. So it laid there with his feet up in the air, kicking and struggling and to stand back up, and is unable to. Once down, gases starts to build up in the abdomen of the sheep, and they can die in a matter of hours if the shepherd doesn't get to them in time to set them up right, and especially if it's a summer day and it's hot, they'll die within a few hours. If it's, they say if it's a cloudy day or rainy, it might last a day or two. But even while it's on its back, they're in danger of wild beasts, everything come and attack it. So it's important that if a sheep is cast, that the shepherd find the sheep to set it upright. And that's what's going on over in the gospel. When the shepherd goes out and look for that one lost sheep, it's because the sheep is cast somewhere. It's on its back. You know, sheep have really short legs, and it's laid down in the grass, a heavy fleece, pregnant or just fat, and it's rolled over on its back with his legs up in the air and can't do anything. So unless that shepherd, he goes out and finds that one sheep and sets it upright, as the scripture says, he lays it on his shoulder and then brings it back to the fold, then that sheep will die. And that's our state, you know. It gets me how God can't do anything unless we help him or allow him. That gets me, okay? Now we are like lost sheep, amen? We are like lost cast sheep. We're on our backs, our legs kicking in the air, and we are unable to do anything for ourselves unless God comes, the chief shepherd comes and does something for us, beloved. We'll die where we are. Now, that's the bright side. OK, the true side of it is we are already dead in trespasses and sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And I know your pastor told you many times, and anytime you hear any sovereign grace preacher say anything, a dead man can't do anything. But for the sake of our lesson, we will give him that the sheep is cast, okay? That is on his back and can't. And so God has to, the good shepherd has to come and do something for the sheep. Beloved, I'm glad he does. I'm glad he cares about the one sheep. So this gives us insight to our text for the psalm, the first two verses. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Then verse 6 says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. The psalmist is asking, why is it my soul, in a sense, has been thrown upon its back and can't be made upright? And that's a very good question. And before I give you the real question here, a few good men have been on TV. You all remember that Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson? And you remember at the very end when Tom Cruise has Jack Nicholson on the stand, and you watch the whole movie, right? This is what gets me. I watch the whole movie, and it comes down to that one question. You remember that? And Tom Cruise, he asked Jack Nicholson, if you gave an order that, what's his name, Santiago shouldn't be harmed, then why was he in any danger? And you're thinking, you sit there and watch the whole movie, and you think, that's the whole question right there. If they follow orders and he gave the order he shouldn't be harmed, he shouldn't have been in any danger, right? And so I'm thinking, I watched the whole movie, I didn't think of that. You know, but that's what it comes down to, right? So that's the kind of question we had before us this morning. And here it is, because look how it starts. David starts the 23rd Psalm with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He makes you lie down in green pasture. He leaves you beside still water. Why should your soul need to be restored? Is that type of question for you all? Did you all just go, I never thought of that. That's where it was for me. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. Okay? He leads me beside still water. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Then what is it that, why should my soul should ever need to be restored? That's what we're going to look at. That's what we're going to look at. Why do we get cast down? Why do we get cast down? And there are three reasons a sheep is cast, and I want to apply them to our lives this morning, why our souls get cast. And as I said at the writing of our text, the people would have understood exactly what Jesus meant, exactly what David meant when he wrote the psalm. There would have been no doubt in their mind what was going on. You know, when he said, "Restore my soul," the soul has to be restored because it's cast. If it's a new sheep or a new, do you call it a ewe lamb, ewe sheep, or just ewe? Nobody knows. Okay, we're you. Okay. It's because she becomes pregnant. The sheep is pregnant, lays down in the grass, and because the center of gravity ends up on her back and can't get up. Beloved, sometimes we are cast down in this life because we're on the verge of giving birth to something great for God. I don't know if you've been through it yet. I don't know if you've been through it yet. But I know with my wife, there was this period of, okay, what am I going to look like after the baby's born? You know, that thing. And then we both went through this period of, okay, what kind of parents are we going to be? You know, and you go through all that, and it tends to worry you. It tends to worry your soul. It tends to bring you down somewhat, you know. But don't forget, you're on the verge of something great. You're on the verge of bringing a new life into this world. Beloved, sometimes in our own lives, sometimes when we are cast down, there's something great just about to happen in our lives. We can't see it, and our own self-doubt gives in. We wonder, well, you know, hadn't done anything, you know, hadn't been doing anything. So, what does it matter? What does it matter? And then there are those who you see what you're about to give birth to, what you're about to do for the Lord. And there are those pessimists who, you know, who always tell you it'll never work. You know, they always have a negative view of whatever it is that the Lord has blessed you with, what he's going to do for you, what you see the Lord is doing for you. And that has a tendency to bring you down. But don't forget that you are on the verge of something great. Okay? Then a sheep may be cast because of heavy fleece. And this is a good and bad thing, okay? Fleece means you're producing wool like you should, right? If you're heavy with wool, you didn't. And I always, when I go do pastor's anniversaries, I always say that pastor's anniversaries are good because any pastor of 10 sheep, he ought to be able to get a good wool suit every now and then, right? Every now and then. You know, if you're 10 sheep, you know, you ought to and have a lamb chop every now and then. Right? So if the sheep is producing wool and this wool becomes heavy, the sheep may become cast. And beloved, this is where you're doing all you know to do for the Lord. You're doing all you know to do for the Lord. The work is going great. You're doing what seemingly is right to you for the Lord. And it's going on. And sometimes when we're like that, it becomes mundane. You know? Okay, I'm at GCA every Wednesday, every Sunday. It goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. Every Sunday we sing hymns. Every Wednesday night we study. And here's the thing. It's always about Jesus. You know, and it goes and it goes, and you're actually where you're supposed to be, right? And then not just this, but life in itself, beloved, becomes like that. You're going to work. You're taking care of your families, and the kids are all doing good in school. Hopefully, you know, even that school gets monotonous. Everything gets monotonous. You're going to work the same place. You see the same people every day. Most of your life, a third of your life you spend at work with people, and that goes and goes, and you're doing all, but the fleece gets heavy. It gets heavy. It gets burdened down with cares and the monotony of life, in a sense. And you become cast. become cashless, and you begin to wonder, and all you're doing, are you doing what you should be doing? Amen. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. I've had many days, especially my days at FedEx. I know I've said this many times, but beloved, that wreck I had December 12th, I think it was 2010, coming from this church in the snow, beloved, that was the best thing that happened to me. My soul was cast. I was in a FedEx van every day, driving a minimum, it seemed like, of 6 hours a day to just to go do 15 minutes of work. And I'm driving, and I'm thinking, and while I'm driving, I'm by myself, and I have all this time to think, Lord, why you got me out here? You know? I'm a preacher, and I'm not the best preacher in the world, but I know I love your word. I know when I stand, I pray that what I'm saying is truth about you. And I know so many other men who stand in your name who don't care a flip about you. But they're pastoring mega churches, and here I am stuck in this van driving up and down the highway. And, you know, and beloved, you get cast down with just the cares of life. And then he does something for you. You know, I said, you may not like how he does it, but he does it. It's just, you know, rather than not being a wreck, but since it was, I'm glad it was. And life is totally different now. You know, I'm home at a decent hour. You know, I have my evenings back. We started Bible study. Those things I couldn't do because I never knew when I was going to get home. Never knew. I make a doctor's appointment. I said, we schedule it right now, but I may have to change it. It was like that. So you get cast down. You get burdened down with life. The fleece gets heavy. And then that's just life, okay? Don't forget, if a fleece is heavy, it becomes matted with things. So not just the cares of the world, but then we have this problem of our weak fleshly weaknesses. Those temptations we deal with daily, those things where we say, you know, why did I think that? Why did I do that? I know that's against the word of God. And so it becomes our flesh becomes matted with sins even. And Satan's going to see to it, too, that whatever that thing is, he's going to point it out big time. And it's going to bring it to mind, that he's good at that. Remember Joshua, the high priest, in scripture, he's standing there, and Satan is there to accuse. You know, I mean, look at him. I mean, he's all dirty. You know, it's, what kind of priest is he going to be? You know, it's what kind of priest can he be? And he's ordered to be cleaned up so he can be presented properly to the Lord. So Satan's always there. You know, he's the accuser of the brothers, right? He's always there. So even in that, beloved, the fleece is good, but then it becomes matted with the world, with sin. And the cure for that is that God has to do something for you still. First of all, he has to set you up right. He has to uncast you. He has to set you up right. And then, beloved, don't get upset when God cuts some things off of you. Okay? When he starts shearing your fleece and you're wondering why this is happening. It's because it's so you won't get cast anymore. So he has to cut some things back. It may be some folk you have to let go. Say, brother, you know, I like you, man, but I can't hang with you anymore. You know, it may be places you know you like to go, but you know you can't go anymore. And maybe nothing wrong with the place, but again, because of the appearance. We have to avoid. So those things, and that's what God does for us. He takes us, beloved, and he cuts the fleece from us. He cuts the wool from us, and that we may be better workers better produce it for him. You know, if you don't ever trim or prune a tree, it won't produce much fruit. Amen. You got to prune it. You got to prune it. Then, a sheep may become cast simply because it's too fat. Now, we all have heard on TV these past few years about our American diet, right? And how it's all fat, basically, right? You know, we criticize fast food and McDonald's and Burger King's and the Wendy's and everything because it's all, this is the fat content in it. Now, you know, I wonder about that. So what's the difference between a McDonald's hamburger and hamburger at home? If I make the hamburger at home, is it still the same fat? I'm just curious. I'm just, you know, just, you know, what, so, but anyway, that big story. And the thing is, if we want to live healthier, in a sense, we have to watch our diet, right? And beloved, sometimes we become cast because we're just eating the wrong stuff. As far as churches go, I think you all are fit, lean, fighting machine because you have Pastor Jim McClarty as your pastor. But there are many saints in the world who listen to and try to do everything they hear on TV and radio. And so what's going to happen eventually? You become fat with all these false doctrines and false teachers and everything. And what is a soul to do? How can your soul not be cast down if God has to wait on you before he can bless you? I mean, eventually that's going to weigh you down. So, why are you feeling so bad? Well, because I messed up, brother, and I know the Lord's not going to bless me because I messed up. And, you know, and until I get it right, he's not going to do anything for me. You know, a false teaching like that, beloved, you have to watch what you eat. And if you fill up on lies and falsehoods and everything, it will cast you. It will set you up on your back and you'll be wondering, how did I get like this? It's because you've heard so much garbage, so much junk in your life, and you can't distinguish now from what's true and not true. So I suggest that you get you a good, healthy diet of the Word of God. And I know what's been said, you know, that I can, you know, I can study it for myself. You know, I don't need to listen to Pastor Jim over the internet, or I don't need to be at GCA on Sunday morning. I don't, you know, I can just study it myself. But remember what Scripture says. Philip and the eunuch. Remember that story? Philip is called to live. I always marvel at that story. I know I'm getting off a little bit, but that's always amazing to me that when things were going good for Philip at church, I think in Antioch, that the Lord told him to leave. You know, that's always a little bit frightening to a preacher. You know, things are going good, and it said, go south on the desert road. You know, that's a little bit frightening for you. So Philip goes, he goes south, and he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember that story? And what's the question Philip asks? Understandest thou what you're reading? You understand what you're reading? And the eunuch responded, how can I, except Son Man guide me? Beloved, that's the way God has fixed this thing. Okay? Yeah, he's going to reveal something to you, but he's fixed it so that by the foolishness of preaching, you're going to be saved. No, it just can't be you by yourself. Some man has to open up the Word of God and show to you what thus says the Lord. That's the way God has fixed this thing. And I promise you, if you're doing it on your own by yourself, I'm not saying that God can't bless you there. But again, Scripture is pretty clear that he does it through men, through vessels, through earthen vessels. He entrusts the gospel that we may expound it to you all, and that we all may be better. Because I promise you, if we're just like little kids, until the kid grows a little bit, you ask the kid what he wants, and I know in my house, for a long time. And if you might be going through this right now. What do you want? McDonald's. What do you want today? McDonald's. You know? What do you want tomorrow? Chunk E. Cheese. You know? And then so if the child is never given a healthy that offset with anything else but McDonald's and Chunk E. Cheese, well, what's going to happen to the child? There has to be some healthy eating somewhere. So, beloved, that's my word to you, that we become cash because we become fat with things that aren't healthy for us. So what do you do when your soul is cast down? Or as the commercial says, when you're falling and you can't get up. Hey, that's a good I should have put that for the title, shouldn't I? Help, I probably can. The psalmist says, I shall hope in God and remember. That's what the psalmist says. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of his countenance. He says with assurance that I might be cast down, but I know my shepherd. And he's not going to leave me out here. You ask the sheep out in the field, sheep, what are you doing? He said, I'm cast. He said, well, man, you're going to die. He said, no, I'm not going to die here. He said, how do you know? Because I know my shepherd. But he's got 1,000 sheep. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he's 1,000 sheep. I know he's coming to get me. Beloved, we have to have that hope. Yes, but we're going to get cast down in life. But we got to remember who we belong to. We got to remember that the chief shepherd, the good chief shepherd, is our shepherd, and he's definitely going to come see about it. If it's just you, if it's just me, it doesn't matter about the millions of angels around the throne or that he's keeping the universe, sustaining the universe, beloved, he's coming to see about you.
Yes.
He's coming to see about you. He says, I remember thee from the land of Jordan, from the Hermonites, and from the hills of Mizar. He says, I'm down right now, but I remember better days. When we get down, part of this thing is remembering what God has already done for you and what he's done for others. How do I know he's coming to get me? I know because he's came and got me in the past. Post, you've never been cast down and this is your first time and you haven't experienced what it is to be made a right by the Lord. But that's that again, that goes back to your healthy diet. As you have a healthy doubt, you can read in Hebrews where it says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And we know that if God has delivered Israel, if God has delivered those folk, that he'll do the same for me. So there's remembrance of what he's done in your life, and there's remembrance of what he's already done in Scripture. And these things help set us aright by the Word of God. Now, remember that the parable of Luke 15, the sheep and corn and the son, they were already the possession of the owner. It's not like the shepherd lost someone else's sheep, or that the lady lost someone else's corn, or that the father lost, in a sense, he lost someone else's son. No, they all were owned prior to them being lost. Beloved, again, we must not forget who we belong to. We belong to God. We belong to God. Again, we belong to God. Yeah. I don't care what comes in this life. I don't care how bad it gets. You know, I know in the end it's going to be better. Even if I have to leave here, it's going to be better. And this I want you to remember that in the rejoicing over these things, and I want to end with this, that the rejoicing that goes on over the lost sheep, over the lost coin, over the son that returned, is not because of the thing, okay? Contrary to popular belief today, okay? The way it is today, someone comes to Christ and we celebrate that person coming to Christ and not the God who brought them to Christ, okay? The rejoicing, notice the rejoicing. Nobody goes in and shake the sheep hand and says, oh, sheep, you know, you're great, man, you've been found. Or flips the coin and say, hey, what a wonderful corn. You know, the corn that was lost, here's the corn. And nobody goes and grabs the son and say, man, you did a great thing by running off and leaving your daddy's house. You know, the rejoicing is the one who found them, who restored them, beloved. It's always, 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 it's always about Christ. Amen. The rejoicing is the one who went out. And he found the lost sheep. And they rejoice with him who found. They rejoice with the lady that found. They rejoice with the father that received the son back into the family. And that's a whole another interesting thing. When that son got back, what should have happened to the son, he should have been, in a sense, made to walk something like a gauntlet. And they were to take up stones and stone him because what he did was just that bad. You know, he wasn't supposed to live for disrespecting his father like that and leaving home. But because the father had gone and asked for is to bring my robe and put it on him. I can imagine him going, in a sense, through the gauntlet. This is my imagination. I can imagine him going through the gauntlet, but nobody stones him, not because of who the boy is, but because he has on his daddy's robe. Mm-hmm. Beloved, it's always about Christ. It's always about Christ. Beloved, he redeems. He saves. He restores. I'm glad he does. I'm glad I'm a recipient of him. But let's not, again, I don't ever get it twisted thinking that you did something great. It's God. It's God who does it. So if you get cast down if you get cast down, don't worry. It's either you're on the verge of something great, yeah, and or it's just life in general getting you down. Or you're not eating right. Okay. And that matters. You know, if you've not been taught the word of God rightly and you don't avail yourself to good teaching, you will become cast. You will wonder what's my purpose in life? What am I doing? And we need the word of God. We need the word of God to keep us upright and keep us lean and upright. And when you hear something crazy, you know, being said, and you can say with great assurance that, you know, now wait a minute, that's not right. And say, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of it. That's not the Christ I know. Remember, beloved, we belong to him. He's going to come see about us. And when he does, all glory, praise, and honor goes to him.
Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you this morning.
That was some good spiritual food. My goodness, right from the start, right through the end. Remarkable. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That's some fine preaching. Thank you for making the effort to be here with us today. I certainly have benefited by it. I put on the microphone because I wanted to make sure the internet folks were brought up to speed on Jim and asked for prayers. Jim is suffering from an assortment of things, from congestion to sinus issues. He is under a doctor's care. He's got some medicine to take. And I can just best describe it as it seems far worse than what I went through for 11 weeks. And I just pray to God that he doesn't go through it anywhere near that long. So for those of you on the internet, Please pray for our pastor. We worship a God that heals. We worship an almighty God. We know he can heal. And we ask for God's healing in this case to bring our pastor back with us. So folks on the internet, please remember that. And don't just pray once a day. Do it a few times. So, internet folks, thank you for being with us. And we'll see you later.